I'm just going to read two verses of scripture again with you. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Read the verse 18 and 19, and then we'll spend a few moments in prayer. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the dry land. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the word of God. Thank thee for the scriptures and for the truth we find within the word. We pray that as we take upon the preaching of the word that was laid upon our heart this morning, Lord, that we bless it. Lord, stand beside us and guard us and guide us. And help us as we bring forth thy word. Lord, help these stumbling lips. Help us to preach as us. And thus saith the Lord, may we go home this afternoon, having known that we have spent time in thy presence. Lord, may we go home, Lord, knowing that it's good for us to have been here. For here we have met with the Lord. Undertake for us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. That is what we are here to do, is to meet with the Lord. We're looking for the Lord to speak to us this morning. Looking for the Lord to guide us in all things, even through this word. It seems nearly every time when we're coming to the children of Israel and our scriptures, we find that whenever we begin to read that the children of Israel have sinned against God, they turn away from God and godly matters. And once again, there has to be a call of the servant of God, drawing them as faithfully preaching the word of God that he preaches, that they would be drawn back to their first love or drawn back to Christ. This chapter notes a man called Isaiah. Such a man as was needed in that time. The children of Israel needed him. Their future looked bleak. Their history was always bleak at times. They have lost everything. They've come to the point where they have lost everything. They are now in captivity. They are homesick for the land which they once had. And they desire to go forward even further and back to the promised land which God promised them. You know, I was in the prayer meeting beforehand, and those men could have preached this sermon even in their prayers. They were bringing into... I heard a man preaching on captivity, preaching on the promises of God, preaching on the mercy. He was praying on the mercies of God. These men could have preached the message, and I believe the Lord has placed it upon our heart that we should look at these people who were in captivity. They were in Babylon. They were taken from their homes. Seems here in this passage, if you read through it and the preceding passages before it, that they had no hope. And they are in despair. But even though they are in this situation they find themselves in, God seeks to bring them a message of hope. God seeks to bring them a message of good cheer. A word that would strengthen them in season. A word that would draw them in a time of need. And God sends his messenger that they would trust in the ways of the Lord. And God says in the verse 1 of this chapter, it says, but now thus saith the Lord that createth thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. God was saying, even though all these things, though you have gone into captivity, though you're in Babylon, you're still my people. But what did these people expect of God? What did they, as they looked to God that day, and they looked, the preacher started preaching to them. The preacher sent this message into them. What did they want of God? And I want to ask us this morning, and you this morning, and I want to ask us to myself, what are we expecting of God? What are we expecting of God? Expecting great things. Expect great things of God. We were at our prayer meeting the other evening, Thursday night just passed, and in that prayer meeting they showed a DVD of the testimony of the late Reverend John Wiley. He was preaching, he was giving a testimony in Larne Free Church on the 14th of April, it was 1984. I know that date because that's my exact birthday. And he was preaching, and he was giving a testimony, and that word of testimony was a great word of testimony. A great word of testimony of truths. It was fun-filled. But it was also truth-filled. He spoke of the good old days. Days when God's outpouring was upon the land. Spoke of days where there were blessed days where God moved in a mighty way upon hearts of men and women. But he also testified of hardship. Testified of rejection of God's word. Testified of those which hated, as it were, even the very word of God, and those that were standing up for the truth. And this morning, I believe that as we gather together this morning, we should ask ourselves that question. What are we now expecting of God? What are we expecting of God? And I believe there's a few things that if we're going on with God, if we're serving the Lord, then we should be looking at a few things that we would expect of God. We can see even in this passage here that we have before us. And I want to look at firstly the verse number 18. Are we expecting of God? One thing we should be expecting of God is to help us to remember the days of old. Let's read verse 18 together. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. He's saying salvation is a wonderful thing to have. Salvation is a great reality to have. He's saying many people here who are saved live in discouragement. So people live in discouragement of the times. People live in discouragement of the people. But there's something about discouragement. Discouragement isn't good. It's not good to be discouraged. It's not good to be a people who are discouraged. For discouragement, it robs people of the good things in life. Discouragement forces people to live in the past, and they start worrying about the tomorrow and things that are ahead. Discouragement also stops us and hinders us from accepting the encouragement that others want to bring to us. And these children of Israel here in this passage are living in times of discouragement. They're in Babylon. They're in captivity because of their sins. And when he reached them here, they are at the lowest point the nation could ever be. Taken from your land, drawn away, and captivity. But God spoke to the people through the prophet Isaiah. He gave a word in season to these people, and they needed it. They truly needed a message. See, their minds were cast back to times of old. They were in a captivity, and they remembered back to times of gone past. Those times of captivity which the children of Israel were still kept upon. They thought of the difficult times which had passed and difficult times their ancestors went through. And they knew that even in those difficult times, they thought, well, God led them. They may have considered Egypt. Oh, it was a hardship that Egypt had. There was a sinfulness of many people that cast them into the place of Egypt. And they were in slavery. Then God heard them from monks of that place. And he answered them. Verse 16 gives us a wee message on that. It says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, the path of the mighty waters. He's talking of the Red Sea. Even in their time of difficulty, God answered them. God delivered them from the Red Sea, defeating the slave bearers of the Egyptians. The Egyptians were coming behind. It seemed nothing was ahead of them, nothing that they could go forward. And the servant of the Lord struck out his rod. God led them across, and those that were coming behind to draw them back into their slavery were cast into that Red Sea. Slavery was over, and they thought of how God had delivered them. I'm sure other they also thought, in the time of captivity, of times of blessings, times of old things, whenever God truly blessed and the outpouring of God was blessing. And we often think in ourselves the time God blessed our country. When God outpoured and those times that we knew of and the Israelite people knew of, and they thought of them, how they were so sweet times before. How they were blessed at times. How that our forefathers seen the great work done of God. And they desired to be part of those works. They desire that they would not be in captivity, that they would be part of those before. So do we. The children of Israel have fallen short. So are we. Sometimes we're stuck in the past. Sometimes we're not moving forward. And most probably, we're reliving out also the mistakes that we made in our lives. The things in our lives that were mistaken, reminding ourselves also that the misery which we had in our lives. Misery they had and they didn't want to go through them. They remembered them. Remember their ancestors. And we remember the good times. We remember the bad times. Verse 10, 11 in this chapter, bring that to fore. It says, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, as you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall I be after. Even I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior." God tells us that there was witnesses before in that day. God tells us, young people in the meeting, that there's witnesses. I would recommend that testimony, by the way, of the Reverend John Wiley. There was witnesses before serving the Lord, and there was a great work done. But verse 8 tells us something more. Look at verse 8 and read it together. It says, "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears." And if you look at your Matthew Henry on this portion of scripture, it tells us that they brought forth their false gods. He talks about their false gods here. It says, and people remembering all these difficult times as well, and they were, he says, the false gods had eyes. They had eyes that the people see, but they couldn't, the false gods couldn't see. And there was no God before God. And people were being blinded blinded to the truth, by the falseness of the world. And there's people that sought to draw them away from the truth. And you know what? You know all about it. I'm sure people in this congregation know all about the times of old when people used to draw them away from the gospel. Still do it today, by the way. People are drawing away, using their false gods and false witnesses. False gods were drawn up, causing many battles for truth. And verse 27 says, "On our first father hath sinned." This is remembering the times of old. "My teachers have transgressed against me." God says to us this morning, our first father has sinned. What a calamity it is. What a calamity it was that our first father sinned. And it says our preachers. And it says our teachers have sinned. And they have turned away from God. And they have sinned in the past also. And many battles had to be fought. And many fights and many battles had to go forth. You know, I praise God for those battles of old. I praise God for those battles of old when men were standing up for the standard of the truth and the Word of God. For in those days, and you know it, in those days that we were seeing the God delivering and the presence of God moving upon hearts of men and women. God saying to the children of Israel here, remember those things of old. Just keep them as part of your life. Tell them to your children. He says, don't dwell on them continually. Don't dwell on them continually because they will hold you back from going forward. And God says there in verse 26, he says, don't just remember those things and hold on to them. He says, put me in remembrance. He says, don't worry. He says, keep them in remembrance, but look at me now and look at me and remember. Keep me in your remembrance now. And there he's rebuking the proud person. Rebuking, and he's saying, consider the things of old and what God has done. And he's saying, in reality, he says, those men were just used by me. It was by God alone that these works were done. It was God alone that this free church was built up to what it is today. And that is my prayer that the Lord would use it even greater. There will be a challenge once more to even to the students and the people. But there will be a greater work done even in the Free Presbyterian Church, even for the days and years that are come to head, that we would put at the mindset of our congregations. God. God is. God is the mighty. We would have God coming and speaking to us clearly. We want this morning a word from God. God saying to us, He says, it was good to be part of those times of old. He says, remember those times of mission. Remember those times when souls are being saved. I remember hearing of my dad. I listened to a CD lately. Whenever he was accepted to the college, there was 133 people saved in that mission in Ballymena. I remember attending a mission in Mitch Hill with 26 people were saved. I'm not looking for numbers, but we want to get back to those days, don't we? We want to get back to those days where God is moving. Where people in their scores are coming to Christ. Where people are quaking in their shoes and their boots. And they're coming dark. Vile sinners are coming to Christ. We feel captive of those days. They're what we remember. We remember them so much. And they sometimes seem all that we have. Think of the 1859 revival. What a revival it was. We sit in our hearts and we say, I wish I was part of that. I wish that God would once again move upon our land. We would see what it was to sit amongst that revival time where only a word would have to be spoken, where God brought people and saved them mightily. But you and I both know, even though we desire those things, we cannot rely on past blessings. We can't rely on past victories to sustain us. As the Bible tells us, it says, remember ye not the former things of old. And God's giving a clear message to us this morning. He says, I want to give you strength in the work. He says, I want us to go forward for Christ. I want us to be strong in the faith. I want us to have that strength. Oh, it's good to have the past, but past blessings do not suffice. Even this morning's meeting, the meeting last night, that blessing doesn't suffice for today. We need a further blessing. We need a fresh blessing from God that is today. And God doesn't condemn the past. God doesn't condemn, but He wants us to have a new. And we, like the children of Israel in this passage, need God once again to step in, to sweep into our meetings, to sweep into our houses, or sweep into our congregations, sweep into our college, that God would open up our lives, we would look to Him, and He would open up the windows of heaven, bringing waters and rivers upon this dry and barren land. We live in a dry and barren land. God wants to bless us. And it is our prayer that we would see the showers of blessing that are falling. So I ask you this morning, what are you expecting for God? What are you expecting from God? I trust that as we've looked there, you say, well, I'm expecting for God to do a work. I'm expecting for the great work and grace of God to move. I'm expecting that I will be encouraged by God seeing His name magnified. See God's name, once named, uplifted and held where it should be at. Magnified. What are we expecting from God? Should we also expect another thing? One thing I think we should be expecting. We should be expecting God to lay hold of His promises. Let's look again at the Bible. We should expect God to help us to lay hold of His promises. Read verse 19. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And verse 26 says, put me in remembrance and plead. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. And God tells His people here, He says, I will not remember your sins. They have been washed. They have been cleansed. You're not going to be a sinless people. There's only one who is sinless, that is the Lord Jesus. He says, but I'll not remember those sins. He says, I've given you promises. I want you to be careful. I don't want you to lose out on those promises of God. We need to get back to seeking God for His promises. One whom you reunite us back to His fellowship. Maybe you're unsaved or backslidden and you've been far from God. Need reunited back to your fellowship with Christ. We've not turned it now, but Psalm 147, verse 3 tells us that He is a healer of their broken hearts. Christ could heal you again, give you back to you that first love that He had with Him before. You know what God says to us to hear? He says, I'm going to want you to have your promises. We should be looking to God that He would give us our promises, but He says, I want you to plead with me. It says we should plead. Verse 26 tells us that we should plead together. We should be a people who have a pleader cause before the Lord. We are seeing the possibilities that God sees in us. See, what's the possibility God sees in us? Look at the end of verse 26. He says that thou mayest be justified. That thou mayest be justified. And we need to plead with God. That in persevering before God, that He would also bring to pass the promises which He has proclaimed for us in the Scriptures. There is words in the psalmist. I do want you to turn to read them. Chapter 85, verse 6, it says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? This is us holding on the promises of God. And then it says, verse number 12, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and the land shall yield her increase. And the righteous, says verse 13, righteousness shall go before him, and he shall set us on the way of his steps. See, it is grace and it is mercy of God that leads us in the way which He wants us to go. And it's grace and mercy that gives us, that helps us to come. We come to Him with boldness, holding up the promises of God by His grace that He gives us, by His mercy which He desired that we receive. And don't we likewise oftentimes when we're seeking God, often see His grace and mercy? You see it there with the children of Israel there in captivity. But God tells them here, I'm going to do a new thing. He's giving them grace and mercy. And they've seen it on many occasions. Many times they held fast to the promises of God. They held fast. And God said, I'm going to send you to Canaan, the promised land. And they held fast to it. Did God hold and break His promise for the people? No. Find the people, God said, I'll take you to Canaan, man. A promised land, and he says, and I'm going to take you there, and the people were took there. Because of their sin, they went round in circles in other places, but eventually they got there. And God says to us here, says, I have called you. Says, I want you to have a blessing. He says, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, they show forth my praise, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary to me. He says, I have called upon you this morning. I have called upon you. But you're losing out because you're weary and you do not call upon me. You do not call upon me as you once did before. But be assured, you call upon Him, you're in His hands. And His grace calls, and as God's grace that calls, is God's grace that keeps us and guides us. There's other verses in Titus, I'll read them to you. It says in verse 13, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And there we see the grace of God. We're seeing the grace of God. And God's saying, He wants us to remember the promise of old. We see the grace of God in verse 12. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness, unworldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We find growth. We just don't need grace, we need to grow. In the verse number 13, it says, looking for a blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto Himself, a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. And there we have the glory. Glorifying God. We need the grace of God. We need the growth, verse 12. We need verse 13 and 14. We need the glory. And you see, God does not want us to hold on to the promises of God and stay static. But He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to glorify His name. And if we want to see and if we are to hold on to the promises of God, then we must see God working in our homes. We need to see God working in our congregations. We must see God working in our pulpits. That we have godly men of God. Men who are on fire for God, preaching the Word of God, glorifying God's name, holding fast to His book. Men who are available for God. Parents, I want to urge you this morning to pray for your children. Hold them up before the throne of God. Pray that they would know that you are holding on to the promises of God. Plead with our God, our Heavenly Father, that He would bring such things to pass. Maybe you're praying as a congregation. Say, I'm holding to those promises that God's promised us. Hold on. Say, I'm praying as a family and praying, holding the promises of God. Hold on. We need help from God. If we're going to expect, we need to expect God to work, but we need to hold on to Him. And we need to hold His promises, and we need God to work. So whenever we come to prayer, pleading with God, we should come expecting that God would not just say the promises and have them there, but we would see that God would bring those promises to fruition in our lives. What it would be to see God bringing promises to fruition. We should expect things from God. There's one important other thing we should look to God for. To bless the work ahead. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers upon a dry land. He has given us the promises. And God is saying to the children of Israel here, I'm going to do a new thing in your lives. I'm going to do a new thing in your congregation. I'm going to do a new thing with you, children of Israel here. You're in captivity, but I'm going to do a new thing. You're in distress, but I'm going to do a new thing. You're in downhearted, but I'm going to do a new thing. You don't feel like going forward, but I'm going to do a new thing, God says. He says here, children of Israel, trust in me. Trust in me, not just for the past, but trust in me for the days that are ahead of us. The past is behind us. He says to them, he says, you know the past. He says, you can't go back to them, even if you desire to go back to them. He says, look forward. He says, you can't return to those days of old. He says, the work ahead, the way ahead looks difficult. Looks as if there are some stumbling blocks that you may come across, and there may even be no way through as your eyes can see it. It tells us there that God will make a way. If we would only but trust Him. He says, I'm not going to the children of Israel. I'm not going just to going to deliver you to Babylon. He says, I'm going to make your pathway safe. Your pathways you're going to come across is going to be safe. And God tells them, He says, see, that's the empowerment which has been noted there in the verse number 16 where the children of Israel were taken and across that Red Sea. God says to the children of Israel here, He says to them, He says, here, look at this power which I gave upon you to part the Red Sea. It's going to be the same power that's going to produce for you a way in the wilderness that you're going to go through. He says it's going to be the same power upon that dry land that I'll bring such a refreshment as it talks about in verse 20. It says, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the isles, because I will give waters in the wilderness. They haven't got waters in the wilderness, and here the waters come to the wilderness. He brings refreshment. And rivers in a desert to give drink to my people, chosen people. He says we need to see a work being blessed. Expect God to bless the work ahead. You know sometimes what the saddest thing in a congregation is? Maybe there's somebody in a meeting like this, I don't know. There's some people today that think that God's stopped moving. Some people today think that God's not moving anymore. So there's no point in praying. There's no point in looking to God and helping us to remember things of old and to pass them to our families and to look forward. There's no point in us holding the promises. There's no point in us praying for the blessings ahead because God's not moving anymore. As God says there in verse 19 that He's going to do. He says, "I will behold. I will do a new thing." He tells it there. He tells us also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, he says He's unchangeable, the same yesterday. He's the same today and forever. And thus He also says in verse 26, He says, remember God, remember thou me. He says, put God first. He says, put me in your remembrance. He says, before you never put the incense upon the altar. You didn't bring the burnt offerings before me. He says, but now remember me. You're going through these situations. You're going through these times of trial. He says, plead with me. He says, remember with me. Remember me. And I want you to remember back. Maybe you're saved in the meeting. I want you to remember back to the day that God saved you. What was the first thing that you done? You got on your knees. You prayed before God. He says, God, save me a sinner. first thing you done, you got before God and you humbly came. And where did you go? You went to the feet of Jesus. He says, God, I need you in my life. I can't go any further in my sins. Oh, there are so many, but Lord, I can't go any further. If that's where we started off with, we shouldn't just say, well, I'll jump to somewhere else now. But what our scripture is telling us, what this passage is telling us as we started off seeking God and prayer and coming to the feet of Jesus, we look upon our land today. Is it not more so that we need to now get on our knees again, come back to the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, we need you for the work ahead. We need you, God, that thou would move in this work ahead, because I surely need thee. I need a blessing. I need a mighty blessing of God. We should sit at the feet of Jesus. In the verse, chapter 40 and the verse 28 tells us, this is book of Isaiah, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting creator of the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God is never weary, so we should come to him. Come to the feet of Jesus, because he's not weary. And we should come, as it were, this morning. We should sit close to God. Sit close to him, as it were, that once again we would see the blessings of God upon the work. God moving. Then when we're close to God, we see God will bring to fruition the desires that we have. May we say, as may we even concur, as Christ said those words to the disciples in Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. He said these words, have faith in God. Maybe this morning, get back to having faith in God. Get back to saying, God, you know we're not going forward. You know we're a little static now. Lord, we're looking for the promises once again. We remember, God, remember those things of old. Lord, we thank thee for them. I want to hold to those promises. And God, I want to see a work done. Say, I want to see a work done. God, do a work. So I want to encourage you this morning to have faith in God. Put your trust upon him. Expect God to do great things. Expect God to work. Expect God to work this evening in the meeting. His parents come in. Expect God to speak to us. And hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to those promises. The verse I like in the scripture, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God says, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. If you're a born again believer in the meeting this morning, you could say, I know God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. But sometimes I have. We have to be honest, don't we? Let's just look to God this morning. Let us hold forth and say, behold, say with encouragement, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, not just tomorrow, but it says, now it shall spring forth. Ye shall not know it. Even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers upon the desert. Let's just pray.